Well, good afternoon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. It is indeed a deep honor for me to stand before you today, especially here in this beautiful mosque and in this beautiful city. And I told our sheikh that this is my second visit. My first time I came as a guest, and now I feel I am among friends, even family. So I can't thank you enough for your love, for your hospitality, and for your kindness. Allow me to begin again, like I did last time, by reciting a Quranic verse. وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْهُمْ وَقُولُوا آمَنَّا بِالَّذِي أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَأُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ وَإِلَهُنَا وَإِلَهُكُمْ وَاحِدٌ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ Muslimun. Do not argue with the people of the book unless gracefully, except with those of them who act wrongfully and say we believe in what has been revealed to us and what was revealed to you. Our God and your God is only one, and to him we fully submit. The Quran teaches that Christians and Jews are the people of the book. And as we saw in this verse, Muslims and Christians, we worship the same God, the God of Ibrahim, the God of the prophets. And if we truly believe this, then faith must not divide us. It must call us to responsibility. Today, my title of this talk is Palestinian Christians in the Shadow of Zionism and Christian Zionism. I will come to speak as a human being, as a Palestinian, as a pastor and as a theologian, and as someone who lives daily on the receiving end of Zionist colonialism and Christian Zionist theology, as I will explain. So this is not a political lecture. It is really my testimony from the ground in Palestine, and it is a moral appeal. So let me begin. When I talk about Palestinian Christians in the shadow of Zionism and Christian Zionism, we need to make some definitions. Who are Palestinian Christians? We are the first Christians. We are the descendants and heirs of the first church in Jerusalem. Friends, Christianity did not start in Europe. Christianity started in Palestine. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, not in Rome. He was born, was raised in Nazareth. And according to our scriptures, he was crucified and raised in Jerusalem. The first Christian community was in Al-Quds, Jerusalem. So again, Christianity is not a Western religion. Yet in the United States, in Europe, Christianity is often spoken of as part of the Western civilization or wrapped into vague phrases like Western Christian values, or Judeo-Christian traditions or civilization. When we hear this as Palestinians, not only do we feel erased, but deeply disrespected, because Christianity was born in the East, in our land, among our people, not in the West. And for nearly 2,000 years, Palestinian Christians have survived the different empires. Empires came and went, and we remained. And very few people actually know this, that we were a majority in Palestine up until the times of the Crusades. That was when many of us were killed or left. And during the Crusades, local Christians did not side with the Crusaders. We fought alongside Arabs and Muslims against them. Now why? Because the Crusades were not about faith. They were about power, they were about land, and they were about supremacy. And also, let me be clear about who we are as Palestinian Christians. We are Arabs. We're Arab. And by the way, Arab Christianity actually predates Islam by centuries. Our language, our culture, our identity, we are Arab. And that's why today in Palestine, Palestinian Christians, we never say we are a minority, because we are Arabs. You can't tell if this is a Christian or a Muslim. We look the same, we eat the same, we have the same habit. Today in our churches, in Ramallah, in Bethlehem, in Jerusalem, in Nazareth, we worship in Arabic. And for over 1400 years, Christians and Muslims in Palestine have lived together. Were there tensions sometimes? Yes. Were there injustices? Yes. But we found out ways to coexist, to share life, and to protect one another. In fact, in many towns and cities across Palestine, you literally find the mosque and the church next to each other, in the same street, facing each other. This speaks so much about how close we are to each other. In our schools, Christians and Muslims are classmates and often our best friends. And most importantly, today, we are joined together in our struggle for liberation and a free Palestine. And like I said last time I came here, you know, most of the time the West want to put us as if we're fighting. And they always ask me when they visit us, how are you doing with your Muslim neighbors? And I say, we've been living together for 1400 years. I think by now we figured out how to coexist with one another. This shared history and living presence matters. And it is symbolized powerfully by this fact that maybe not many people know, that today a Muslim family holds the keys to our most precious church in Jerusalem, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. So let's move next to ask, what is Zionism? Zionism is a political theology and ideology that calls for the establishment of a Jewish state in Palestine. Establishment of a Jewish state in Palestine, that's Zionism. Now, at first glance, some might ask, what is wrong with that? Let me explain the problem clearly and honestly. First, Zionism is exclusive by definition. It seeks to establish a state for one people, defined by ethnicity and religion. And when a state is built on a singular national religious identity, it inevitably discriminates against those who do not belong to that identity. Equality becomes impossible by design, and this is exactly today what Israel is, a supremacist state. But that's not the only problem with Zionism. There is something more critical. Palestine was not and is not empty. So they want to establish a Jewish state on someone else's land. So how does that happen? What is the solution? In the Zionist mind, the solution is clear. Go and study and read what they're saying. Even today, the solution is transfer the indigenous Palestinians, displacement, and replacement. This is Zionist ideology, displace and replace. This is what they tried to do in Gaza for the last 2 years. For this reason, Zionism must be identified clearly as a settler colonial ideology, and Israel is a settler colonial entity. That's the logic of settler colonialism. Displace the indigenous population, replace them with one, a new one. And this is why Palestinians, Muslims, and Christians alike, in the Zionist mind, had to be removed. And it's important here to pause and say something very important. Yes, many Jews came to Palestine as refugees, particularly after the horrors of the Holocaust. But Zionism as an ideology predates the Holocaust. It does not predate anti-Semitism, which is real and evil, especially in Europe. And the architects of Zionism did not seek to come and live alongside us as equals. They sought to replace us. This is not accidental. This is the plan. This is what they did in 1948 in the Nakba, the catastrophe when 750,000 Palestinians were expelled from their homes. The Nakba. It was ethnic cleansing. So when we talk about Zionism, it's a racist ideology. We need to call it for what it is, because it calls for and practices Jewish supremacy. So our objection to Zionism is therefore not religious. It is ethical. And I cannot stress this enough. Our problem is not Jews or Judaism. It is Zionism in ideology and practice. As people of faith, we must reject all forms of supremacy, religious, ethnic, or national. So let me be again absolutely clear in closing this section. Our rejection of Zionism is not anti-Semitism, because it's not against the Jews. It is a rejection of oppression. It is about resisting our own elimination and erasure as Palestinians. So this is Zionism. What is Christian Zionism? Christian Zionism is simply put, Christian support for Zionism. And let me be very, very clear. Christian Zionism must be judged by the fruits of Zionism. So what are the fruits of Zionism? They are clear: settler colonialism, ethnic cleansing, apartheid, military occupation, and today a genocide in Gaza. And so I ask my Christian brothers and sisters around the world, can we really place the word Christian before all of this? Are colonialism, apartheid, ethnic cleansing, and genocide compatible with the teachings of Jesus? For sure not. And by the way, many Jewish voices themselves protest these crimes and say, not in our name, not in the name of the Jewish faith. And their numbers are increasing all over the world. Many times when I meet with them, I wish more Christians would have the courage to use the same language as they do. And so for me as a pastor, as a Palestinian pastor, resisting Christian Zionism, of course I resist it because I'm a Palestinian, but it is to me also a Christian mandate, because Christian Zionism discredits Christianity. It corrupts our faith. It turns God into an idol of power and domination. Friends, Christian Zionism is not Christian. It has nothing to do with the teachings of Jesus. It has nothing to do with the very heart of Christianity, which is love. If people know anything about Christianity, is that love is the most important thing. In fact, we have what many call the Christian Manifesto in the Gospel of John, a verse that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in God may not perish but have eternal life." And to me, Christian Zionism stands in direct contradiction to this vision. It replaces love with tyranny and supremacy, and the God of compassion with the God of empire. And when they do so, they not only pose a threat and betray us Palestinians, they betray the message of Christianity itself. And on the ground, and I move next to asking the question, how did this ideology of Zionism and Christian Zionism impact us Palestinian Christians? Believe me, we suffered and continue to suffer a lot because of Zionism. From the very beginning, from the Nakba, more than 50,000 Palestinian Christians were displaced. Over 30 Christian communities and villages were erased. We were not merely uprooted, we were replaced, and that hurts us. Do you know how difficult it is to walk in Jerusalem or Jaffa and point to a house and say, my ancestors lived there, my grandparents lived there, and now you see a new family living in it? We lost a lot in the Nakba. By the way, a lot of the church's property and land was confiscated by the new state. And we also lost a lot from the sense of Western support, because now we were targeted not because of our faith, but because we were Palestinian Arabs, dispossessed not only physically, but also theologically, as Western theology aligned itself with colonial power. And since then, we have lived like all Palestinians, under occupation, under apartheid. Our lives are shaped by military control, checkpoints, settlements, violence, an apartheid wall that fragments both land and people. And believe me, many times when we, and for many years, we were not even allowed to speak openly about these injustices to Western Christians because they would accuse us. Too often we were treated like second-class citizens, second-class Christians by Western Christians. They trusted the voice of our colonizer more than that of the indigenous Christians. And of course, we all know what's happening in Gaza today. Palestinian Christians are victims of genocide alongside their Muslim neighbors. Churches have been attacked. Families have been killed inside the church. and an ancient Christian presence is on the brink of extinction. Maybe you know that Gaza is the home to one of the oldest Christian communities in the world. The Church of St. Porphyrios is one of the oldest in the world, and that now stands under grave threat. We see the same in the West Bank, attacks against Christians, against Christian villages. Bethlehem, most of the land that belongs to Christians has been confiscated, and that is pushing many people outside of Palestine. There is also a direct assault on our freedom of worship, and that is, we as Christians are the target, victims of that, like Muslims. For the first time in history, Bethlehem and Jerusalem are separated. Imagine if in Mecca you are not able to reach Medina or needing a military permit to do so. That's our reality today from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. This is our reality. And Christian feasts are disrupted. Christians in the old city are sometimes blocked from attending prayers at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, the same as Muslims are blocked from attending prayers at Al-Aqsa Mosque. And at the very heart of all of this, and this is important, is the Judaization of Jerusalem. Not merely as a political capital, but as an exclusively Jewish city defined by one identity and one narrative. Through laws, planning policies, demographic engineering, and selective history, Jerusalem is being reshaped to erase its Christian and Muslim presence. Neighborhoods are demolished, residents' rights revoked, churches and mosques restricted, and worshippers harassed in the name of security. So the goal is not now coexistence, it's exclusivity. One people, one faith, one story. Again, this is Zionism. And so in doing so, Al-Quds, Jerusalem, is stripped of its true identity as a shared sacred city, holy to Jews, Christians, and Muslims alike. And when holiness becomes a tool of domination, the city of peace becomes a battleground of injustice. That's sadly the reality in Jerusalem. So in short, Palestinian Christians are not neutral bystanders to Zionism. We are not observers of this reality. We are its victims. And before we think together how to answer Christian Zionism and Zionism, we need to address some of the deception that Zionist ideology uses. Because why does this injustice continue? Despite overwhelming evidence, despite international law, despite human conscience, it continues because Zionism does not rely only on military power nor on the political backing of superpowers that support Israel for economic and geopolitical interests. Zionism relies on a powerful, carefully constructed, and deeply deceptive narrative, discourse, especially in the West. This is a very important point. So we need to expose and confront the Zionist narrative. The narrative that has shaped the minds of millions of people around the world, how they read their Bibles, how they interpret politics, how they understand history, and sadly, how they frame morality. So let me name some of the key elements of this deceptive discourse. This is important for all of us. First, scripture and religion are weaponized to justify domination and serve power. Zionism and Christian Zionism need theology. Biblical texts are torn from their ethical context and turned into political weapons. Ancient promises are transformed into modern land deeds. And God is portrayed as endorsing dispossession and violence. Religion is then instrumentalized to serve Western geopolitical interests, legitimizing military alliances, domination and control. And in this process, God is reduced to a tribal deity who blesses power while the suffering of the oppressed is made invisible. This is the power of theology, sadly. And second, Judaism and Christianity are falsely united against Islam. A dangerous myth is promoted of a single Judeo-Christian civilization standing in opposition to Islam. This erases centuries of coexistence between Muslims and Christians in the Middle East. It also ignores the historical reality that Jews, when persecuted by Christians in Europe, often found refuge where? In Muslim lands. They seem to have forgotten that the Holocaust was committed by Western Christians, not Arab Muslims. Today, this narrative is used to fuel Islamophobia and justify war, turning religions into opposing camps of good versus evil. We need to be very careful of this very dangerous tool of Zionism. And third, Muslim Palestinians and even Palestinian Christians are systematically dehumanized. You need to dehumanize Palestinians, both Muslims and Christians. We are portrayed as threat, as extremists, never as human beings with names, histories, and faith. Even Palestinian Christians are ignored at best or dehumanized at worst, because our existence disrupts the myth of a religious conflict, because we do not fit the script, which exposes a deeper truth, that this is not really about religion, it is about power. Religion is used as a language and a cover, but the goal is domination. And once people are dehumanized, dispossession appears justified, killing becomes acceptable, and even genocide can be called self-defense, because you have dehumanized millions of people. And by the way, if you understand these points, then you will understand why Palestinian Christians are dangerous to this narrative. Our very existence exposes these lies. We break the myth that this is a religious conflict. We insist the problem is colonialism. We dismantle the false binary of Christianity and Judaism versus Islam. We challenge the stereotype that Palestinians are either Muslim extremists or enemies of faith. We are Palestinians, we are Arabs, we are Christians, and we are indigenous to the land, and that identity alone disrupts that Zionist propaganda. And by the way, this is why Israel repeatedly promotes the false claim that Palestinian Christians are persecuted by Muslims and therefore leaving, even repeating it every now. Even last week, Netanyahu said this lie, shamefully. We are leaving as if because of Muslims. Reality is the exact opposite, as I just shared. We are leaving for the same reasons all Palestinians leave: occupation, apartheid, the denial of basic rights. And further, our lived experiences reveal a deeper truth. This is not a war of religions, friends, but a system of colonial domination and supremacy. That is why Palestinian Christians are often silenced, discredited, or ignored. We do not fit the script. We refuse to play the role assigned to us by colonial powers. And by our faith, our history, and our witness, we proclaim a simple truth. Zionism does not represent Judaism, and Christian Zionism does not represent Christianity, and God does not belong to any empire. This is why our voices matter, and this is why our voices are always feared, and this is why they always try to silence us. So how do we respond? And this is my final part. First of all, our response is just to simply insist on staying in our land and saying we are not leaving. That's how we answer Zionism. And even today in Gaza, in the midst of destruction and death, Palestinians are trying to reclaim their lives from the ashes of genocide. Among them, Palestinian Christians who insisted on celebrating Christmas, and you see behind them the churches, what remained of destroyed building. We're not trying to deny the suffering or claiming that the genocide has ended, but this is to us an act of faith and defiance. And in Gaza, when they met in front of the church, they released white doves, sending a message to the world, we still believe in peace, even when peace seems impossible. It was a powerful reminder that faith is not only what we believe, it's how we endure. And today we are inseparable part of the Palestinian people. We cannot disappear, and we will not disappear. Yes, we are small in number, but we are not small in our role and impact through our hospitals, such as Al Ahli Hospital in Gaza, which is still functioning. Our schools, universities, and social institutions, we serve all Palestinians without discrimination, of course. Churches continue to play a vital role in sustaining life, dignity, and hope. Alongside, we are still part of the Palestinian public life. We have mayors, community leaders, public voices. We speak not from the margins, but from within our people's struggles. Alongside this steadfast presence, we resist nonviolently as Christians. We have joined Palestinian civil society in calling for ethical, peaceful pressure, such as boycotting Israel, divesting and sanctioning movements around the world. This will bring us freedom and justice. This is what we believe. It's a mean to challenge injustice and apartheid through conscious, not violence. We have developed theologies of liberation, faith-rooted theologies that seek to challenge injustice wherever it exists. We directly challenge Christian Zionism and its distortions of our scriptures, insisting that faith must stand with the oppressed, not justify the oppression. We insist that God blesses the bombed, not the bombers. And we refuse silence. We refuse to be silent, and we refuse to be silenced. We will insist over and over, this is not a religious war. This is not Judaism versus Islam. Our problem as Palestinians is Zionism, not Judaism. Judaism, like Christianity and Islam, is a faith deserving of respect and dignity. Zionism, on the other hand, is a political ideology rooted in exclusion, supremacy, and must be confronted ethically and openly. For that reason, Palestinian Christians continue to insist that Jerusalem must be shared, not monopolized. It is sacred to three religions and home to two peoples. It must be a symbol of coexistence, not domination or encounter. Not exclusion, of peace, not supremacy. And we will continue to insist, there is no path to peace without justice and equality. Peace cannot be achieved by force, cannot be imposed, as they're trying to sell us. Peace can only be achieved when you give people their God-given right. Security without equality is not peace. Control without dignity is not peace. Peace built on injustice will always collapse. And we do not walk this path alone. We walk together with our Muslim compatriots, whose faith is inseparable from ours. Our struggle is one, our future is one, and our liberation must be and will be shared. In Palestine, we always say we are in the same boat together. And we also walk alongside Jewish voices in our land and around the world who reject apartheid, refuse supremacy, and stand with us for justice and equality and against Zionism. Their courage reminds us that conscience has no religion and that moral clarity can cross every boundary. So this is our response: steadfastness, sumud, service, nonviolence, truth, and shared struggle. And we will continue together until justice becomes possible and peace becomes real. Brothers and sisters, in conclusion, Palestine today is not only a local tragedy. It is a test for humanity. It has become a moral compass for our world. How we respond to Palestine reveals how we truly believe about justice, human dignity, and the role of faith in public life. So I said, and I continue to say, Gaza has divided the world. It's a good thing. We need to know where people stand. To challenge Zionism is not only to stand with Palestinians. It is to defend the soul of religion itself, to reclaim faith, theology, and spirituality as forces that liberate, that heal, and give life, rather than justify domination and death. And let's be very clear, because this commitment must be consistent. If we oppose Zionism, we must oppose racism, religious nationalism, and violence everywhere, without exception. This includes anti-Semitism. It includes Islamophobia. It includes the persecution of Christians, Muslims, Jews, or any people of faith anywhere. So we cannot cry for justice in Palestine while remaining silent when Christians are attacked in Nigeria, when Jews are targeted in Australia, or when Muslims are oppressed and targeted in China. Our moral voice must be consistent. We must confront injustice wherever it exists, in Yemen, Sudan, Syria, in the systematic discrimination faced by Dalit communities in India, in every place where people are denied freedom of worship, belief, dignity of culture, and the right to belong. Any ideology that turns faith into a tool of exclusion, declaring some people worthy of dignity and others beyond it, is a betrayal of religion itself. Justice cannot be selective. Compassion cannot have borders. Selective morality weakens faith, but true faith defends the dignity of all. And we find this in all of our sacred traditions, Hebrew scripture, Christian Bible, the Quran alike. We are told that every human being is created by God with equal dignity, that God shows no partiality, that differences is not for domination, but for knowing one another, لتعارفوا, to know one another, and that true faith calls us to respect life, reject discrimination, and compete only in righteousness, compassion, and care for one another. This must be our shared ground. Religious people, we must work together for the sanctity of life. All lives are precious. All lives are sacred. This truth must stand above politics, above ideology, and power. When my good friend Dr. Imtiaz says, humanity is my religion, this is not a rejection of his faith. I believe it is its highest expression. Friends, differences will remain between people of faith. I will leave this mosque as a Christian. I do not hide this. I do not hide my beliefs. And I do not impose on you to share my beliefs. But I will also leave having gained your friendship, your respect, and love, and with a renewed commitment to work together for a more just and humane world and for a free Palestine. This is our shared calling. May our faith make us builders of justice, not defenders of oppression. May it unite us in dignity, in courage, and compassion. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.